Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. You are now talking with TD. Always fun to open it up like that. Nothing wrong with having a good time. Got Elijah hitting the switches, making this thing work. Special show for you today. As we do each week, we have Chris Sanders coming on. Run TMC. Yeah, that's right. We're going to get into the running game. But Chris has a very bold statement by most accounts. Not mine, because I'm right there with him. About who the top receiver in the league is. So definitely stay tuned for that. And we got Rob Domofsky, my ESPN teammate covering the Green Bay Packers for NFL Nation. Looking forward to talking a little shot with him as well. But, hey, man, this is going to be the second game against the NFC North, back-to-back games. And it starts with the Detroit Lions, what the Titans were able to do. Put up another 40-burger. My goodness, this offense is showing a lot of balance and really doing their thing. I mean, they can end up with a 4,000-yard passer, a 2,000-yard rusher, and 2,000-yard receivers. I think the 1,000-yard receivers, A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, that's kind of in the bag. That will happen. But the 4,000 and 2,000, that's going to be interesting. Either way, Derrick Henry, 24 carries, a buck 47. He averaged 6.1 carry yards per carry against the Lions. He had the touchdown as well. And I think what you saw with him was just continued excellence. And that guy, every week, teams say, right, the defensive coordinator, he goes in the room to speak to the defense and he says, guys, this is Derrick Henry, 22. He's not going to stop. He's not going to run over us. And what ends up happening? He runs over them. So that's a testament to what he brings to the table. But then on top of that, you have Ryan Tannehill had a very, very efficient game. And I thought Tannehill was, he was balling. And the thing with him, you can't say, and it, usually when you have guys with minimal interceptions, they're guys that don't take shots. They're guys that don't, you know, they play safe. Alex Smith, you know, when he was with the 49ers in 2011. Or you could think of, you know, those type of quarterbacks. But you're looking at that game, there were some tight window throws that were very impressive. He loves to work that play action, throw it across the middle. But that shot to Jonnu Smith on the seam route, dropping it in between a couple of defenders, fitting it to Michael Pruitt on that crossing route, those were some really good throws. Tannehill, 21 out of 27. 273, three touchdowns. Oh, and by the way, he added two rushing touchdowns. It was his first game having five or more touchdowns in the game, being accounted for that. And, man, he didn't make the Pro Bowl. I get it. There's a lot of popularity into that. But I think Ryan Tannehill was playing every bit as good as Josh Allen is. Mm-hmm. And in fact, and I talked about this on Jared and Friends, Stillman and Friends, almost called it Jared in the GM, you know, forced habit. But I talked about it on there. He has about 80 less attempts than Josh Allen. And we're only talking about 600 less yards.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? But guess what? In those 80 less attempts, he has one more touchdown. Four less interceptions as well. So, I mean, I get it. It's a popularity contest, but for me, I think Tannehill should have been in over him, but I want to see how it all works for all pro. Nevertheless, this week was another example of what Tannehill brings to the table and another example of why he should be a top five quarterback. It's not often that you get a guy outside of Lamar Jackson, outside of you know, Kyler Murray, outside of what Jalen Hurts is becoming. It's not often you get a quarterback that can have that impact that Tannehill does on the ground. Mm-hmm. And when you're like the touchdown, his first one, when you play, you know, run fake to that side, to the right side, and you're booting to the left, man, go back and watch the All-22 on NFL Game Pass. All of Detroit went to the right, right, with the exception of one player who was covering, I think that was Corey Davis on that play. It might have been Jonnu. But whoever that receiver was on that backside, he was covering him. Tannehill saw it was covering and just hit 20 miles an hour, literally, to the end zone. Got to shout him out, man. Outstanding game. But you also had the defense. You know, they did a solid job. One Mulligan. And I laugh because they let Chase Daniel drive down the field and score a touchdown. Like, that's – you can't do that.
Yeah, it's not ideal. You can't do that. Yeah.
You can't do that.
One thing when it's Matt Stafford throwing no-look passes to the back of the end zone.
But it's different when Chase Daniel does the thing. But nevertheless, it was a solid game. But I want to get into one last thing in this opening, and that's Darrington Evans. And I tell you what, there was a stretch where – well, first he had the screen. He caught that. That dude, he got some juice. Like, if I was in that locker room, I would give him that nickname. We wouldn't be calling him Darrington. Lay juice. Because that's what he ran with. He ran with some juice. When he caught that and he made his way down the field, he could have stepped out of bounds, right? Because he was kind of falling that way. But he regathered himself and got a couple extra yards. And then that 9-yard run to the right that he got, then he backed it up with an 8-yard run. I'm impressed by Darrington Evans. And here's the thing. During camp, he didn't really show as much. There, you would see spurts, but you could tell he was just kind of feeling his way into there, and then he got hurt, mm-hmm. right? So that was something that I'm sure Titans fans were frustrated about. But then he came back and he got hurt again. They just got him some real snaps, and he was impressive. He was impressive. Now, granted, he only had, like 30 yards rushing. He got his first touchdown, but he was impressive. And that's just a new element to that offense that teams will have to be concerned about, right? When you go out there, and let's just say you go three wide with a tight end. Let's say you go 11 personnel. You could motion him outside or motion him to the slot. Now you go empty, and you get him matched up against some lumbering linebacker. Advantage Titans. Mm-hmm. And that's something that they showed it twice last week, but that's something that they could really unleash to the nation because they're going all eyes on me, Tupac, on Sunday Night
Prime
Football.
Prime time, baby.
Prime time. That's what it is. So I think Darrington Evans is going to give some of these fans an opportunity to finally say, there's a contribution from this year's draft class. And I know that's the big running joke, running frustration, but I think you're going to have that opportunity. So we're going to go ahead and go to a break. Before we do, as we always mention in our opening segment, if you're not subscribing, definitely search Talking with TD, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, anywhere you listen to the top podcast. You can add this one to it by subscribing. If you are subscribed, let's get that rating. Let's get that review. We appreciate you. We'll be right back.
This is AJ Brown, and you're talking with TD.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. As we do each and every week, roll through that black book, find the MVP who's coming up for this week. And it's always a pleasure when I get to talk to my fellow ESPN NFL Nation teammates. This week we're going to have Rob Domofsky, one of my guys, man. Rob, what's going on?
Teron, how are you, man? And first, the making a black book reference, that's old school. I don't know if the kids even know what a black book is anymore.
Yeah, they just open the contacts on the phone, you know what I mean?
I love it.
They know nothing about that.
Great to be with you.
Yes, sir. I really appreciate it, man. And I think right from the start, we should probably talk about Matt LaFleur and just how he's been. Obviously, last year was a little more inclusive as far as your interaction with him. But we're into year two. How has it been just dealing with him? How has he done what type of job has he done coming in and just making things happen the way he has?
Yeah, I mean, there's two things, Teron, and I think it's a great question. One, the football, obviously. I mean, like, he's 24-6, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, Aaron Rodgers had a great line this week when we asked him, I actually asked him about the, you know, why the hire has worked out so well, and he said, you know, everyone wants to make a big deal about our relationship and whether it was going to work or not. And Rodgers goes, we laughed our way to the NFC Championship game last year about it, and we're laughing our way back to the playoffs about it. Which, you know, from that standpoint, it probably couldn't have worked out. From, you know, just the way he was embraced and has embraced it here has been good too. Because look, Mike McCarthy was here for a really long time.
Yeah.
He's got a street named after him. He was ultra visible in the community. I mean, it was not unusual. Now, Green Bay's a little different place, as you know, but it was not unusual to see Mike McCarthy, you know, out and about, whether it was, you know, he's got kids, whether it was at one of his kids' sporting events, or just at a big community, you know, fundraising event, whatever it may be. McCarthy was out there, you know, he was a part of the community and still is, really, because he still lives here. His kids still live here, even though he's in Dallas. So LaFleur was walking into, you know, that situation, and he's done a really good job of it. You know, I think people have really gotten to see a little bit more of his personality this year, which is kind of funny just because, you know, we don't get up-close interaction with him. It's all Zoom. But I think people are more in tune. That people watch these press conferences now, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. because there's not as much to do. And, you know, I think people really have seen, at least a segment of people who are on, you know, social media or whatever, have really kind of seen LaFleur's personality come out a little bit, and I think he's done a good job with that.
Yeah, I really like Coach LaFleur, to be honest with you. And you know, a couple years ago when he was the OC here, I would always hang out after his press. I missed the start of so many Dean P's press conferences because I'm hanging out talking shop with him when he's done. But it just was so fun to do it, you know?
Yeah, I remember you and I at the Combine that year that McCarthy got hired, and we were at dinner, and I asked you, you know, I said, what did you think of LaFleur? And you told me that you know, you really enjoyed that. And I think that's part of, you know, first of all, it's part of being an assistant coach and being a coordinator is doing that kind of stuff. And obviously mm-hmm. as a head coach, you don't have as much time to do that. But I remember when you said that, and that stuck with me. And everything you said about him, you know, from that conversation that you and I had that day, I think has been true.
That's what's up. So I guess I didn't know what I was talking about. Looking at what he's done with the offense, obviously, you know, this is a team, what, 31 points a game. They're doing the thing, Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams. But I want to focus on Aaron Jones because, mm-hmm. in my opinion, he's one of the most under – no, he is not one of – he is the most underrated running back in the game. You see it firsthand. What type of impact does he bring?
Yeah, I'll see. You know, I think it'll be interesting to see how underrated he is when it comes time to get paid because he's going in the last year of his contract. And I get the feeling the Packers probably aren't going to pay him just because it's just, you know, from the cap standpoint. But if somebody does, you know, I think that'll speak volumes. But look, this is he's perfect for this offense, which is why I'm not sure letting him get away. It's a hard deal because if you pay him, boy, it's a running back contract, and those things are so risky. And if you don't pay him, how do you find another guy who's perfect for this offense? But I also wonder if he might not be perfect for just about any offense because of how explosive he is. The one thing he's not, I mean, he is not Derrick Henry. He is not, you know, a pound, just a massive, as LaFleur described him the other day, a violent, angry runner. That's not Aaron Jones. But, boy, is he shifty, slippery, elusive, change gears. And for as you know, the play action stuff that they want to do to set up Rodgers, you know, that's part of it has been ideal. And that's really, Teron, been the difference between their offense last year and this year. Yes, Aaron Jones had an amazing year last year in terms of, you know, the production, the yards, the 19 touchdowns. But they've really found a way to marry the run with the pass much better this year. And quite frankly, their offense struggled a lot last year. I mean, even though they got to the NFC Championship game and won 13 games, there were plenty of games where we were, is their offense ever going to come around? But this year, you know, and they kept saying it in the offseason, you know, it's going to click in year two, don't worry. And then when we had no offseason workouts in person and training camp was so short and no preseason games, you really wondered. But, man, they came out all guns blazing, and it hasn't stopped really outside of maybe one stretch against Tampa where they were up 10-0. Rodgers threw two picks, and he's only thrown, four all season. Yeah. He threw two of them basically in back-to-back series. Other than that stretch, you know, they really haven't been slowed down a whole lot this year.
And we're talking to ESPN NFL Nation Packers reporter Rob Domofsky. Rob, I want to ask you this. Aaron Rodgers, right? This is a Sunday night football game. All eyes will be on this game. And I laugh because he comes across as someone who's petty, and I don't say it in a bad way. What I'm saying is he comes across as someone petty enough to be like, you know what? You want to talk MVP? Mm. I'm in front of everybody. I'm going to show you guys who the real MVP is. Is that an accurate assessment?
Oh, I think so. And especially because they were a little shaky down the stretch, you know, last week, Saturday night. I mean, they get out to a 21-3 lead, and you're thinking, oh, this is going to be another, you know, 300-yard, three or four touchdown game. And then they kind of went cold in the second half. So, look, he has not hidden the fact that he wants a third MVP. Mm. Maybe not as much as he wants a second Super Bowl, but he isn't one of these guys that say, oh, you know, the MVP doesn't matter. It matters. You know darn well it matters to these guys. They have egos. They want – I mean, he wants as many MVPs as Favre did. You know, Favre had three. He loves three. So he knows it's neck and neck with him and Mahomes. And, you know, if he goes out and you know, what is he at now? He's at 40 touchdowns, four interceptions. When he won his first MVP in 2011, he had 45 and 6. He's got two more games, you know, to get to 45, and you know, I think he will if they let him, you know, cut it loose a little bit, and especially after the way, you know, Devontae Adams was shut down a little bit last week. And when I say shut down, he still had seven catches. Now he didn't have a ton of yards, but he still had seven catches. They're going to want to get back to that this week for sure.
So make no mistake about it, Titans fans, you are going to see Aaron Rodgers at his best. That defense has their hands full. But the Packers defense is going to have their hands full. And we kind of chatted a little bit earlier this week. Why is Derrick Henry such a problem for those Packers defenders?
Yeah, well, first, the thing you can do, Teron, is go look at the NFC Championship game from last year. The 49ers ran it, and I've covered the Packers for 24 seasons. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this in a playoff game. They ran it 42 times and threw it 8. I mean, are you kidding me? You know, they lined up. They told the Packers what they were going to do, and the Packers still couldn't stop it to the tune of 285 yards rushing. And look, we were really, at least I was, really curious last week and kind of eager to see Christian McCaffrey play because it would have told us if their run defense is, you know, is prepared for Derrick Henry. Now, McCaffrey obviously didn't play for the Panthers. But basically the last time that the Packers faced, you know, a top-caliber running back was Dalvin Cook and the Vikings, and Cook was nearly unstoppable. So, you know, you look at their numbers, Teron, they were 23rd against the run last year. This year they're 11th. But if you look at yards per carry, it's almost the same last year. They're giving up about 4.5, 4.6 yards per carry. So that's the true number, right? I mean, total yards, that's not necessarily a measuring stick. It's how many yards per carry you're giving up, and they're still giving up a ton. And I've told other people this. If I were the opposing team, I would do everything I could to get a lead on the Packers so that you can run the ball because their defense is built to stop the pass. Za'Darius Smith, Rashawn Gary on the edges as rushers, Jair Alexander making his first Pro Bowl now. He's being recognized as an elite corner. But they're not necessarily built for the run. And if you have a lead and can run it, even if it's a 7-0 lead, I'd take the ball. If I won the coin toss, I wouldn't do this defer. I'd take the ball and I'd try to go down and score to get a lead against them and make the Packers play the way you want to play because they're much better defensively playing ahead. But I will caution you this, just because you get behind if you still stick to the run, go look at the Colts game from last month.
Yes.
The Packers were up 28-14 at halftime, right? Two-touchdown lead. What does Frank Reich do? The first eight plays of the second half, they ran it. Jonathan Taylor, I think, ran it seven straight times. That takes some guts, right, to run it down two touchdowns in the second half, but they did it, and they got back in the game, and the Colts ended up winning the game in overtime. So that's the – if there is a recipe, that's the one, in my opinion.
You're spot on about not letting the Packers get ahead by a bunch, and especially at home because, you know, when they start playing that bang your drum and you know, and stuff just starts rolling, and it's like, wow, this is about to get really, really ugly. It's already ugly. This is about to get really, really ugly. So that's an excellent point. I want to focus on the safeties real quick because obviously, you know, Adrian Amos, he's a name that a lot of people know about, and Darnell Savage. How big of a part of that defense have these guys become, especially, you know, with Savage being able to play this full season?
Yeah, Savage, they basically picked Savage and signed Amos within, the same free agent and draft year. And they did it to complement one another, and we're finally starting to see that. Savage has been healthy, the last couple of weeks, and he's got, I think, three takeaways in the last 3 weeks. So that's a big, big bonus there. And then Amos played, in my opinion, his best game in his 2 years in Green Bay on Saturday night against Carolina. He was breaking up passes in the end zone. He was blitzing and getting pressure on the quarterback, and that's really what they want out of those two combinations, you know, being able to play them deep or in the box at the line of scrimmage, and the fact that those two are starting to round into form, that's the way they envisioned it when they brought these guys in, you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago.
And before I get you out of here, I want to look at a couple guys on the defensive line. Kenny Clark, He's so underrated as well, and it's crazy because the Packers are a team that NFL eyes are on this team, but you have a guy that's as good as Kenny Clark, doesn't get the recognition. He works out with Jayon Brown too, Titans linebacker. Yep. Rashawn Gary
just look at the contract with Clark. That'll tell you what the Packers think of it. Highest paid nose tackle in the league when he signed his deal in August.
Yeah, and look, money talks. The other stuff, you know what it does. So, yeah, that's a great point. Rashawn Gary is a high draft pick. But I want to just wrap up with the Smith brothers. And let me tell you this. Za'Darius Smith, I don't really bang the table for a team to sign because I'm objective. You know, you do what you're going to do. Yeah. I can only make a suggestion. But my goodness. I was really strongly suggesting the Titans sign Za'Darius Smith.
Yeah.
And the Packers went in, they grabbed both Smith brothers, you know, and that pass rush is one of the better ones in football. The Titans didn't, and they have one of the worst ones. So I have to ask you,
no doubt.
How has the Smith brothers, how have they come in and really established themselves as a key part of that defense?
Yeah, not only signing, I remember the day they signed him. They signed the news about Za'Darius broke first. They paid big money for a pass rusher, and then like a half hour later, they signed another one. and they really came in last year, especially had a massive impact. Preston hasn't had as big of an impact this year. They are asking him to drop into coverage more, in part because they're using Rashawn Gary, who you mentioned, their first round pick from 19. He's playing more. But Za'Darius, another, dozen sacks. I don't want to get too carried away here, but, the Packers haven't signed a ton of free agents over the years. They haven't been that way. But I'm not going to say he had the Reggie White impact that signing did in the 90s because that was franchise-changing. But I would liken it to when they signed Charles Woodson in 06 and just the impact that he had, not only on the field, because obviously Woodson's a Hall of Famer, but just in terms of leadership in the locker room, Za'Darius, first of all, Rodgers gravitated toward him, and Rodgers doesn't take, kindly to just anybody. He's a smart guy. He's not going to get, fooled by a rah-rah guy. And he really took a liking to Za'Darius. And I think that showed the rest of the team, hey, if Rodgers likes this guy, this is a guy worth following. And so the impact on the field, has been obvious with Smith's pass rush. But the impact that Za'Darius has had on the other guys and bringing that energy to a defense that really needed it and a confidence, to me, that's where it's been a Woodson-like impact, in my opinion.
That's what's up, man. It's good to see. I was in Baltimore when Za'Darius came in as a rookie. So it's good to see him go out there and do his thing. I'm glad you were able to share that. Ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to find someone more in tune with the Packers. So make sure you guys follow Rob. It's R-O-B-D-E-M-O-V-S-K-Y, Rob Domofsky, obviously at Rob Domofsky to be specific. So make sure you follow him. All types of good content. Rob, I appreciate you, man. And I won't be able to have any, brats or anything with you because I'm not coming to Green Bay. But, man.
Yeah, but missing you guys, that's the bummer of this whole food season is not seeing everybody.
Yeah, for sure, man. But, hey, you have a happy holiday. Stay safe, man, and definitely look forward to catching up with you at some point.
You too, Teron. Appreciate you having me. It's good to hear you.
All right, man. Likewise.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
I just love to hear that beat sometimes. Oh, yeah. I can picture the video. The guy with the with the wild hair playing the guitar. Yeah, man. You know what time it is. Run TMC. What's going on?
Man, I'm good, man. Just excited about the win that the Titans just had. And, you know, I'm ready for these Tennessee Titans to go on this run, man. But, man, how's you and your family doing, bro?
Oh, yeah. Everything is outstanding. Definitely outstanding, man. I'm excited.
Hey, did I ever tell you you look like Art Monk, though?
No, you didn't. But that's kind of like the way I never told you that you look like Al Toon.
How do you come up with Al Toon, man? Okay, I give up. Hey, throw in the towel.
Throw the damn towel. Oh, man.
I love doing the show with you, man. It's an honor every week to talk ball. And, you know, even though before we get ready to do the show, man, I admire what you do on the whiteboard Wednesdays.
Oh, wow.
And
thank you.
The knowledge that you bring to the listeners, man. I mean, I'm learning from what you do. It's very, very, very good.
You ain't learning nothing, man. You saw it before. But I appreciate it. You know
welcome,
what I mean?
You're welcome, man.
Yeah. So this week, the whiteboard video is not going to be on anything with the running game or anything like that. But obviously, that's our focus. Excuse me. So that being said, Derrick Henry still on his quest for 2,000 yards. He's at, what, 1,679? What do you think, man?
You know, I kind of said it last week, and I've been, you know, talking about it lately, is I'm just proud of a guy maturing in his craft. I mean, a lot of times we appreciate what he's doing now, but when he was running in his first couple of years, he wasn't running like he is now. And here's a guy that worked hard with his running back coach and who did the little things. He didn't complain. He just focused on getting better at the little things. And now we're seeing the big dividends of what's happening now. And, you know, he's running through people's face. I mean, he's taking over games. And, you know, he's one of those backs that just have an attitude of, okay, I understand that you know the plays that we're running, but that doesn't matter. We're going to run through your face. So it just makes everybody better. It makes the wide receivers better. It makes the offensive line better because they care not just about him getting 2,000 yards, but they care about being physical and punishing, you know, the opponent.
And not only is he running through people's faces, he's putting his hand through their face. That's stiff arm. My goodness.
Man, dude. But here's the thing that's cool is, he's giving guys stiff arms in traffic. I mean, who does that? I mean, there's a lot of people. He's running through the B gap, and he's stiff arming people. If you look at what about 3 or 4 weeks ago when they played the Colts, he stiff armed a nose tackle. He stiff armed a defensive end, yeah. And it just shows you, man, that this guy is not just a great runner, but he's a physical runner.
And that's the thing, man. When you're physical and you're the one, you know, inflicting the punishment. It's a lot different, right? It's not as taxing on your body. And obviously, you know, everyone is making a deal about the carries and, you know, how those things are coming along. But I think in his case, it's a bit different because you have those runs where he stiff arms someone to the ground, or you have those runs where, you know, he is delivering the blow for the most part. Very rarely do you see him get hit. So I think the whole carries thing is not something to be overly worried about. Mm-hmm. But still, going back to this Lions game, I think it's just so uncanny how you could feel a long run coming. Like, you could feel it. You see him, and then next thing you know, he finally does break, and you're like, yep, see, that's exactly what. And I actually, when that 32-yard run happened,
I
that's what I put on Twitter. I said, you could just feel that it's coming.
Man.
Boom, there it is.
Yeah, but then on the flip side of that, just like you said, when he would have a 32-yard run, but some of those runs he had earlier were like 10 yards, 8 yards, 6 yards. I mean, he's always staying in front of the chains. And if you look at when he first got in the league, he was running side to side, and he was standing behind. He was behind the chains a lot. But now he's falling forward. Even if he's getting hit, even if two or three guys are hitting him, instead of it being second and 8, now it's second and 3. So now it just makes your whole offense better because, you know, Arthur Smith is a good play caller. So now he has a variety of things. And then once you do that, once you get the running game going on, what happens? Play action. Play action to Corey Davis for a 75-yard touchdown. That's why he makes everybody better.
Exactly. And I think he really does have so much to do with the success that this offense is having overall. And that's why he should be in the MVP conversation.
I agree.
I mean, we know he won't win it. Right, because it's a quarterback-driven award.
Hey,
listen. Even if he gets 2,000, I don't think he's winning. Man.
Yeah,
I don't.
I give him all. Yeah,
you know how it is, man. It's all about the QB, you know. But I think when you sit there and you break it down and you look at it, he is such a big time factor. Well, what can you expect against this Packers defense? Because you know, like a lot of other units, they're pretty solid. I'll say this: they're solid up front and solid on the back end. Yeah, Adrian Amos, who is a guy that's a, you know, he's a factor against the run. Jair Alexander likes to come up and mix it up against the run. Kevin King will do what he can as well. But Kenny Clark up front with the Smith brothers, Preston and Zadarius, who daggum it should have been a Titan. I'm not gonna get into that because that'll take up the whole segment, but.
Right.
That being said, the front end and back end, they're pretty solid against the run. Is this a week where Derrick Henry could really eat, especially in that cold weather up there in Green Bay on Sunday Night Football?
Oh, man, he's definitely going to eat. But and before I kind of talk a little bit about him, I want to name three teams that beat the Packers. You got Tampa Bay to beat them, the Colts to beat them, the Vikes to beat them.
Mm-hmm.
So the common denominator on why those three teams beat them is because they were physical. You have an offensive line that's physical. You got Derrick Henry that's running physical. Then now you know that you add another element to it is Evans. I mean, Evans is coming in and is giving the change of pace, and he may not be a big back, but he's running physical. And if you look at the Green Bay Packers, they're a finesse team. I know everybody's been talking about all week. They're a finesse team on offense. They're a finesse team on defense. But when you start getting hit and it's cold, and then two twos coming at you, and then the offensive line is blocking physical, and then you got receivers on the outside with A.J. Brown and Corey Davis and everybody's blocking physical, when you're getting to the fourth quarter, nobody wants that. So I think that's why we're going to win is because we're going to be the more physical team. And the teams that beat the Green Bay Packers are the teams that hit them straight in the mouth. They wasn't afraid of Rodgers. They wasn't afraid of their front. They wasn't afraid of the offensive line. They said, you know what? We understand that you're MVP candidate. We understand that you throw touchdowns. We understand that you're a great player. But when I put this helmet through your chest, it ain't going to feel good, and that's why the Tennessee Titans are going to win.
It's so funny you mentioned Darrington Evans and what he brings because that's something that we went over in the opener. Just because when you look at adding a different dynamic and providing another way to get those free yards, because that's what it was on that screen. I mean, that dude, he caught that football, and he ran with some juice. You know what I mean? So I got to shout him out for that. I'm glad you mentioned that.
But doesn't he remind you of in 1999 when we had Eddie George and Rodney Thomas?
Mm.
Rodney Thomas can go, man. Rodney Thomas was a physical runner. He wasn't a big guy, but he's one of those guys that play physical. And even though Evans is not big in stature, but he plays big. He runs big. And it just brings a different dynamic. I mean, just like when Henry was in the game, we knew it. We pounded. But when Evans got the ball, you're like, man, this dude can hit a home run. This dude can take it the distance. This dude can catch the ball. So I'm telling you, man, listen, I'm not trying to blow smoke up the Tennessee Titans because they beat the Lions. But what they're doing is scaring a lot of defenses.
No doubt about it. It's scaring them because you're attacking on so many different levels.
Man.
There's so much balance on the rushing attack as well as the passing attack. And then even within each of those, and that's the thing that's so good. Let's flip it to the other side, though, because obviously Aaron Jones, it's crazy to me that, you know, he's going to be a free agent. And that guy, I'm telling you, every single time I turn on a Packers game, he's providing a big play, whether it's catching the football or running the ball. I mean, he has the home run threat. He gets the ball into the end zone. I think he's severely underrated, but I want to, since we always focus on the running game here, I want to get your feedback in regards to Aaron Jones and what you think of him.
I mean, they have a good running game, too. And don't forget about Williams now. I mean, Williams can play ball, too.
Yep.
I mean, that's a two-headed monster. And, you know, the one thing I love about Jones is he runs like he's mad at everybody. I mean, and when you have a back that's run that's mad at everybody, that, you know, everybody overlooked and everybody said, oh, he's not having a great season, this and that, he has something to prove. So now you got Henry coming in that everybody's talking about. Everybody's talking about him getting 2,000 yards. Everybody's talking about their run, the Tennessee Titans running game. Jones is over here like, hey, I can do this thing too. So you don't think he's going to be running with an attitude? You don't think when Williams gets in there to showcase that they can be one of the best running backs in the league? So I'm telling you, man, it's going to be a display on who wants it more and who's the most physical team. So, man, I'm excited to actually see what's going to happen.
And before we get you out of there, you're a receiver. Tell me a little bit about Devontae Adams. I talked to Nate Washington about him, and he raved. Obviously, he's one of the best receivers in the league. Tell me a little bit what you think about him.
You know, he's a big guy, and everybody knows a big guy. But here's what I love about this guy: his release off the line of scrimmage. Man, his release off the line of scrimmage is outstanding. We always talk about getting guys off the spot and stacking them. I mean, in my opinion, he does it well. He's a great route runner. And what he does when the ball's in the air, he goes and tacks the ball. He catches it at the highest point, and then when he catches it at the highest point, the yards after catch. I mean, this guy's a special player. And the one thing I love that he does, I always tell my receivers to lie with your eyes. If you watch him run routes, he lies with his eyes. When I say lies with his eyes, he makes you think he's going somewhere when he's actually going somewhere else. So, you know, Butler's going to have a big challenge. But I think the toughness of Butler is going to make it a great competition. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen in that aspect.
I laugh when you said releases because that's literally the same thing that Nate said, and really watching, it's something that's just, it's ridiculous how he's able to set these corners up at the line.
And just on the flip side, I know this is a funny video. I was watching on YouTube, you know, just watching his releases and what, you know, seeing what he does special. And Ocho Cinco, Ocho Cinco's funny, man. Chad Johnson, a.k.a. Yeah. Chad Johnson. He was watching the film of him, and he was crying. I mean, he was being funny, but he was crying. He said, you know, I've never seen nothing like this before. When you have a guy that specializes in getting off the press and specializes with great footwork, and he's sitting there crying and looking at his video saying, man, you know, somebody in the league is actually running routes and understanding how to, you know, play the wide receiver position. So, man, I'm telling you something. In my opinion, he's the best wide receiver in the league.
Ooh, hey, listen, you won't get much of an argument from me about that. Right, I wasn't high on him coming out of Fresno State, like as far as thinking he'll be a perennial Pro Bowl or anything like that. But that dude, he deserves mention without a doubt.
Man.
You know, and we could mention probably five different guys. We won't need to get into that, but yeah, man, it's definitely going to be something that this Titans team is going to have to figure out a way to deal with. And this is not the week to be playing off coverage. I'm talking about 8 yards off the ball because they'll slant over and over, or just, you know, that step off and catch route and take advantage of it.
Yeah, and if you're looking at the receiver position, I know we got to go, but, you know, I know they're going to try to take him out the game. But the one cat that I'm kind of afraid of is St. Brown, Aniquis St. Brown from Notre Dame.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm telling you, man. Listen, he can go get that thing. So I don't know who they're going to put on him. I don't know if they're going to double Adams, but if they leave St. Brown, I call him St. Brown because I don't know how to pronounce his other name, but if they leave him alone, he's one of those guys that can make a jump catch, and he can run by somebody. So it's going to be interesting with the secondary. Just like you said, they can't play off. They can't play timid. They got to say, you know what? Let's challenge these cats like they did the Jaguars and take them out their game, and let's go get this, baby.
Game checks will be earned this week. That is without a doubt. I appreciate you, Chris,
as always.
And we'll be talking before the game,
which is
on Sunday. But before then, happy holidays, man.
You too,
I hope
my man.
You have a great holiday season. Bro. All right, now.
Appreciate you, Doc.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Byer, and I'm talking with TD.
Yeah, man, how you doing? You good? I know you like that. I know you like that.
All right, welcome back in a few ways. We can say that to you for coming back after the break, but we could also say that to none other than Adoree Jackson. You think I was going to let this show go by without spending a little bit of time talking about his return? Oh, no.
I was waiting for it.
It was coming. And I want to just get into what his return means for the Titans. I actually had something post on Tuesday about this. And I think when you look at Adoree Jackson, it gives you, first and foremost, another guy that is travel worthy. And when I say travel worthy, I'm talking about he's someone that you could rely upon and cat covered and say, hey, that's your cat. I want you to travel with him wherever he goes. Just look at when he went against Josh Gordon, the Patriots game. You know, he that was probably the best example. As long as it's not T.Y. Hilton, I think he's trustworthy of traveling.
It's a weird history with him.
I don't know what it is, but he struggles with him. But still, that being said, when you mix that, add that to the mix, you take this week against Green Bay. You don't have to have Malcolm Butler travel with Davante Adams now. Malcolm could line up on the right. Adoree Jackson could line up on the left. And you now have a situation where whoever goes against him presents an even opportunity. I think it's going to be interesting because – Malcolm is a little bit more of a physical player, a little bit more of a challenging player as far as like actually trying to get hands and jam the receiver. As you heard Chris Sanders mention, the footwork that Davante Adams has is outstanding. I think, you know, going against someone like for Adoree Jackson, that will be a good matchup, maybe even a better matchup because Adoree's feet are really good, but he's also, you know, the type of receiver that he can play press but without putting hands on a receiver. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of just mirroring him off the ball and then into the route. So I want to see how they match up. But the main thing is getting him back now is very reminiscent of last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about four games as opposed to 13. So it's, you know, there is separation. He's missed basically a season. But watching him out there, I think he looked pretty good, you know? And one of the things that we talked about on this show a few times was, you know, playing off coverage and failing to tackle the receiver who caught the short pass before the sticks. Well, guess what he did against Danny Amendola?
Tackled him for
played
the sticks.
Off. It was a 12-yard gain, third and 16. Time to punt.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he brings to the table. He even got down there and got into the mix against the run, too. So I think when you look at Adoree Jackson, there's a lot. You look like you want to say something, so come on with it. Tell me about it.
I was going to say, I think he helps the pass rush a little bit, too. They're able to get a little more pressure on Matthew Stafford because of the coverage. Stafford holding on to the ball a little bit. It's one of those 5 or 6 second dropbacks in the pocket. For Stafford, just no one was open, and that allowed Simmons or Landry on a couple plays, I remember, were able to get hands in the face of Matthew Stafford. So even, like, there's obviously all the perks that Adoree Jackson can bring in terms of your coverage, but that alone is able to at least help your pass rush a little bit. And if that's able to help that a little bit, you're going to be able to steal some games against teams like Green Bay because your defense becomes a little more opportunistic, even if you're giving up chunks of yards.
Yeah, back end will help the front end. And it could work vice versa as well. But I think in this case, with what this team has at their disposal, you have to rely more on the back end because if you look overall, their strength is there, right? Adoree Jackson, Malcolm Butler. I want to see when Christian Fulton comes back too. But, you know, a high draft pick in Christian Fulton, Kevin Byard, Kenny Vaccaro. Hopefully he could come back. I don't know what the illness is, but I think there should be some concern being as though it cost him two games. But Amani Hooker as well. So Desmond King. So there's across the board, they're in pretty good shape as far as that secondary is concerned. That's where a lot of their players are. So comparing that to up front, you know, Jeffrey Simmons Harold Landry. You know, Daquan Jones, shout out to Daquan. I posted snap counts after the game, and I'm just thinking off the top of my head. I remember Derek Roberson had a fumble. He forced a fumble, and Daquan Jones did too. I had it mixed up. Will Compton played one snap, and that one snap he played, he recovered the fumble. So when I put it on there, and the linebacker, Derek Roberson, was listed with the backers. So I said, oh, well, Will Compton played one snap, recovered the fumble, made the most of it. It was caused by Derek Roberson, who played 37 snaps. Listen, Daquan, my bad, man. Like I told you on Twitter, I just had it mixed up. You know what I mean? Good job on forcing the fumble. But anyhow, he is still a presence on that defensive line too. But I just think most of their guys are in that secondary, and that's where it really comes into play. So, yeah, you're 100% right. Getting Adoree Jackson back is absolutely a good thing for this defense. And it's going to allow them to be able to go against – you know, some of these. I think Adoree Jackson. So take the Steelers game, for example. Who got off and who didn't? Malcolm Butler, cat coverage on Chase Claypool, clamps.
Nothing. Negative yards.
Handcuff sound. But Deontay Johnson was able to get off. Guess what? When you have Adoree and Butler, now you can do, okay, you know what? We're going to put Malcolm on the physical bigger receiver, because that plays into him. All right, the shorter, shifty guy who's quick, Adoree, that's your guy. Done deal. Mm-hmm. And I think that also, and I tell you what, if the Titans match up with the Bills, I absolutely cannot wait to see Stephon Diggs and Adoree Jackson. So you ask me what Adoree Jackson means to this team, I think it gives them a solid, what could, once he's like all the way back, what will be their best cover guy? And like that hesitation was my body, two different sides of my brain fighting, because I wanted to say Butler, but I think Adoree, when he's all the way, he's a better cover guy. Not to take anything away from Butler, because he's outstanding too. But if you can have two, if you have two instead of one, I think it's always a better thing.
Two that are different, too. Different styles of corners. Because like you said, you can match them up with different styles of receiver. I mean, there's obviously not the same – not every receiver you're going to play or every receiving core you're going to play is going to have the same type of receivers. The best ones have different elements to them. Kind of like the Bills with the slot guy and Cole Beasley, your deep guy and John Brown, and your every kind of receiver and Stephon Diggs. Those are that type of defensive versatility on the back end in your secondary. You're going to need to be able to win games in the playoffs because you're going to start playing the best offenses from here on out.
Yeah, and these teams have multiple weapons. So I think that's really key. But Pro Bowl, let's just carry over to the Pro Bowl. Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, these guys were Pro Bowlers. I'll give them that. Nate Davis should be. I really think he should be a Pro Bowler. But it's a popularity contest. So I'm not going to get upset about that. But listen, Nate Davis has played outstanding football. So he should be one. I think Jeffrey Simmons, you should absolutely
for sure
be in the mix as well. So the Titans should have had four, in my opinion. But again, it's a popularity contest. Nashville is a smaller market. And, you know, this is why different players will go in ahead of them. But salute to A.J. Brown, first Pro Bowl selection in his second year. I love what he put on Twitter. It was a picture, and I talked to him about this because I remember watching one of his videos when he was drafted, and I saw Jalen Hurts in there. And, you know, I like Jalen Hurts.
It's your guy.
I like A.J. Brown too, you know what I mean? But it was cool to see both of those guys in that video, so I talked to him about that. But he posted a picture of him sitting there with his tie on and his shirt, and Jalen's next to him, and they're just both, like, the disgust on their face, right? And he said, every team passed on me. Pro Bowl, but we're not stopping here. And I just was like, you know, that's what's up, man. So definitely salute to A.J. for making his first Pro Bowl. Derrick Henry back in the house once again on the Pro Bowl side of things. Ryan Tannehill, though, man, whew. Look, man, I'm going to say it. I think he should have went in over Josh Allen. I really think he should have went in over Josh Allen. Yeah, it's been exciting to see what Josh Allen has done, but he has 9 interceptions. Tannehill has 5.
That's a narrative-based decision for his voters.
Yeah, because remember earlier, they were pushing that Josh Allen for MVP thing. That quieted down, mm-hmm. you know, when he had that stretch where he was throwing picks, but it's getting more heat. But I think that award comes down to Aaron Rodgers, Pat Mahomes, and Derrick Henry. And Derrick Henry's not going to win it. He's going to get offensive player of the year. I mean, mm-hmm. daggone, the guy has gotten FedEx player to runner, FedEx ground player of the week, so many times. He definitely deserves that. But I still think Ryan Tannehill should be in the Pro Bowl. And I'm not going to blow the whistle on that. I got something else to blow the whistle on. So, let me get that music.
Blow the whistle.
Too short. Yeah. Well, it kind of hit me before we jumped into this segment what I'm going to blow the whistle on. And here's the thing, right? What did we say about the front end and the back end? We said right now with what this team has available to them, they have to rely on the back end, right? Mm-hmm. Who are they playing this week? The Green Bay Packers?
Lethal passing game.
Za'Darius Smith is supposed to be a Tennessee Titan. He had an extreme, and still has, I would imagine, a very close relationship with Dean Pease from mm-hmm. when they were in Baltimore. I saw it firsthand in 2014 and 2015. I saw it. They're very close. You take that scheme and you move it down south to Nashville, and you have Dean Pease. This was 2019 now. I'm not talking about this year. He was a free agent before last year. They needed a pass rusher then. You should have done that, man. You know, because let me look up the details of his deal, but here's the thing, right? You sign Vic Beasley to a one-year, $9.5 million contract. You sign Jadeveon Clowney, who's a player in his own right. But I think for what you need, I think Z Smith would have been the better player. He signed 4 years, $66 million. So you spent $22 million in 1 year, got 0 sacks.
Ooh.
Now, over a 4 year stretch, and obviously you could always get out of it. Let's look at the details, but it's $66 million, right? Over a 4 year stretch, and in those two, and let's just say last year and this year, you would have spent $34 million. Granted, it's on one player, but you would have spent $34 million, and you would be able to get out this year, after this year, if you wanted to, for Za'Darius Smith. And just in case you didn't know what his stats look like, before you even look at the stats, just watch the game. The dude's impactful, man. 11.5 sacks this year. Last year, you know, he was outstanding as well. A guy who got some mentions for Defensive Player of the Year, you know, and just instituted that pass rush culture. 13.5 sacks last year.
That'd lead the league this year.
Could have had him. Could have had him. That's so tough. I'm blowing the whistle on the Titans, man. You needed a pass rusher. You had a chance to get one. But you can atone for that this offseason, and that's by drafting Patrick Jones II from Pittsburgh. I wouldn't be opposed to doubling down and selecting Quincy Roche, former Temple player who I transferred to Miami. There is nothing wrong, and both of these guys should be there for the Titans where they pick. So they can atone by addressing that pass rush side of things. Bud Dupree, Yannick Ngakoue. I don't know if the Ravens are going to be able to sign, you know, Titus Howard. Ngakoue and Matthew Judon. So there's definitely going to be opportunities for guys to come in and you know, be added. So we'll see what happens. Either way, on the way out of the door, I'm going to hit you with this. Titans win this week. I'm giving the Titans a win. I want to say 42-35. I had said 45-42. It's going to be somewhere in that ballpark. But there'll be a lot of scoring. Bang that over if you're betting.
Hammer it.
Hammer it. On that note, Lige, appreciate you. Appreciate each of you for tuning in. God bless. Good night and happy holidays.